This is Boxed In.
It's Fifi Box with the stars.
Maybe you should talk to me.
Hey, this is Adam Lambert.
Hi, this is James Blunt.
What I kind of jokingly refer to as the Tarantino superstars.
I'd be Wonder Woman because I loved her bracelets.
Half the people that are on the internet with these opinions are kind of losers.
I'm all for a good party.
Boxed In. Fifi Box, one-on-one with the stars.
Now let's make it an event.
This is Boxed In.
My guest this week is an incredible documentary filmmaker, author, presenter, whose work has fascinated and shocked audiences around the world. He has a feature-length documentary out right now, My Scientology Movie, and he's bringing his weird and wonderful world to Australia with live shows across the country. Welcome to Boxed In, Louis Theroux.
No problem. Thanks for your time. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, well, Louis, I have to say, this is a big coup because you have always been, you know that game people play where they say who are the five people you'd have at a dinner party? Louis, you're one of them. So now I feel like I've sort of, I mean, it's a very surreal dinner party because you're obviously in another country right now. But this is a real treat to get to pick your brain.
Oh, that's nice to hear that. Yeah, no, it's great to be. I'm at a virtual dinner party.
Yes.
Who else is at the party, I wonder?
Well, okay, a couple I'll run by you. There would Elvis, he's here, so hopefully he's got a bit too. Maybe he can just do the dinner entertainment.
A bit decomposed.
Yeah. Dave Letterman's here too for a bit of, you know, comic relief. So Marlon Brando, now he might eat a lot, but I'd love him there.
All men so far, no ladies.
No, I know, you're right. No, that's actually really, that's a sorry reflection on me and my gender that I haven't picked any.
Well, that's a sausage party, they call it.
Yeah. Louis, you're boxed in with me. Stay right there. We've got lots more to cover.
Fifi, boxed in with Louis Theroux.
This is so exciting to have you, Louis Theroux, live on stage across Melbourne, Perth, Sydney, Adelaide, Brisbane. We're all going to get a piece of you, hopefully, when you're here. And, Louis, what excites me the most is, and having been, I think you've gathered that, a massive fan of your work and your body of work, to know that you'll be there on stage talking about the people, the events behind your, you know, all your films, how it works, the danger involved. I mean, is this what people can expect when we see you live on stage?
I reckon that sounds about right, yeah, with some laughs and then even some emotional moments. Some catches up with people who I've met over the years, how you know, what they went on to do behind the scenes, anecdotes from the road, and questions from the audience and some stories that I can tell. Yeah, I mean, that's the basic idea. And clips, of course, clips from the shows. For me, it's exciting because I've never been to Australia. I mean, I'm doing it almost slightly selfishly because I've always wanted to go to Australia, and then I kept getting back from people who from Australia who said they like my show, so I thought it's a great way to sort of meet people who are of a similar kind of like-minded, who enjoy similar things, and see the country a bit, and then also talk about my work.
Oh, I think you'll be inundated. I think you'll land in this country and very quickly realise that we're all huge fans of your work. And something I've always wanted to ask you because, I mean, without sounding completely sycophantish, you are so brilliant at what you do and the way you connect with your subjects. And knowing that you started as a correspondent on Michael Moore's TV Nation before starting your weird weekends on the BBC, when did you realise that, were you always curious? Was, you know, investigative journalism and trying to get to the bottom of things and explore topics always of interest to you?
I would say yes. I you know, sometimes people ask, you know, how you got into TV, and the fact is I kind of got into TV by accident. I never really aimed to get into TV, but what I did always have was a curiosity about people, especially people who kind of march to a slightly the beat of a different drum or who are a bit different. You know, it just somehow there's a weird side of life that's always fascinated me. And even, you know, early on I felt underqualified. In fact, I was underqualified to be a TV correspondent. But what I never doubted was that I had a natural curiosity about just how people are. And I've held on to that. And whenever I've had doubts about what, you know, because it's quite weird working in TV. It's not a terribly secure profession. It's a, you know, there's various pressures to do with ratings, and what I've always held on to is that as long as I'm still curious about the stories that I'm covering, then I'm all right.
Louis, you're boxed in with me. Stay right there. We've got lots more to cover.
Fifi, boxed in with Louis Theroux.
And I think what's amazing and that I find so impressive is your lack of judgment. Because often I'm just thinking of whether it was the Westboro Baptist Church or, you know, various of your documentaries in jails where I'm watching you speak to pedophiles and these horrible people. You never stand in judgment of them. How difficult is that?
Well, you know, that's a question I get asked quite a lot. And to be honest, to be totally honest with you, it doesn't feel very difficult. It feels quite natural. And I think maybe that's because I tend to think that by talking to me, by kind of consenting to the process of being, you know, interrogated or questioned in front of a camera, that the people that I'm with have already in some way signed up to a sense of willingness to make a connection, to make a human connection. And although, you know, I clearly have views of what they may have done, and, you know, in some cases I'm talking about people who have done the most hideous things imaginable, I do think there's always a chance for rehabilitation in people, you know, and that in the moment all I am is talking to someone who's talking to me, and that it's rather than sort of chastise or shout at the person, it feels much more natural to talk about who they are and find out what makes them tick.
Yeah. And I'm getting flashbacks now to then moments when you have an altercation, like I'm thinking about when, you know, Michael Jackson's father. I remember when you were really trying to connect with him and you got there in the end, or even your fallout with Uri Geller in that film, or Jimmy Savile. I remember watching that thinking, this dude's not quite right. And you really get to a level with these people that I don't think other people can. Is it scary sometimes when you think, I'm connecting with them?
That's a great question. And is it scary? I mean, I think it should be scary. I think you should always ask yourself, what is the line which, you know, at what point does a... does your relationship with someone as a journalist cross over into something more questionable, in the sense that you do, you know, I'm not there to be their friend. I'm there, you know, I should be civil insofar as people are civil to me and I'm trying to get my questions answered. With Joe Jackson, if you recall, I asked him some tough questions. One of them was I expressed concern for Michael's well-being based on his apparent, you know, there's just some of the weird choices Michael had made.
Yes.
And specifically talked about whether Michael, you know, it'd be great if Michael could meet an age-appropriate significant other, you know, be it a man or a woman. And Joe really resented the idea that I was speculating that Michael could possibly be gay. And that Joe kind of blew a gasket and more or less ended the interview. And he even said, I'm so glad... you know, my wife, Michael's mother, isn't here. She would really be angry with you. And so, you know, in general, I try and keep the conversation going, but still get the questions answered. And then if someone sort of shuts it down, then that's on them.
Fifi, boxed in with Louis Theroux.
I remember the documentary you did in the at the brothel in the desert in Nevada. And remember you got quite close to one of the girls that worked there.
Hayley.
And it was, yes, that's right. And I remember that was probably the most vulnerable I've ever seen you, where you clearly had a connection and did care about her. Obviously, it was never going to go in the direction that she might have been, you know, she was trying, using her sexual wiles on you. But was that compromise, was that the closest you've probably gone to, this is going somewhere else?
Yeah, I mean, I think probably, yes, in the sense that... you know, as I mean, at the risk of making a huge generalization, you know, as a man, as scary as it might be if someone's shouting at you or threatening to use physical violence, in some ways it's more discombobulating to have someone, a woman, let's say, sort of beguiling you in the sense of, I mean, she said, I won't do any more interviews with you unless you let me give you a massage.
That's right.
So there was a key interview where I took my top off and she sort of oiled me and gave me a massage, and I had all sorts of misgivings about it. It was in its own way, it was sort of much weirder than I don't know, like having a neo-Nazi shout at you about being Jewish or something. You know, the simple act of kind of disarming me by kind of relating to me on her terms, you know, because she was a working girl. It was very, very uncomfortable.
It was, and uncomfortable to watch, which made it even, you know, more enticing and harder to look away from the screen.
Yeah, I mean, discomfort as a viewer, there's good discomfort and bad discomfort, but I tend to think that kind of slightly cringe-inducing, embarrassing thing of like, oh, I can't quite look, can be a very positive very positive flavor to have in a documentary. You know, I enjoy certain types of embarrassment. I sometimes like moments to play out when, you know, someone's expecting you to fill the silence and you just sit on this big gaping silence. You know, or you ask a sort of question that you know you're not really supposed to ask. Those are all things that I really enjoy in making my programs.
Phoebe, Boxed In with Louis Theroux.
My guest this week is an incredible documentary filmmaker, author, presenter, whose work has fascinated and shocked audiences around the world. He has a feature-length documentary out right now, My Scientology Movie. I loved this so much, Louis, and I loved at the start of it that you were showing the audience some tweets that you were sent and lots of followers saying, do not go there, don't do it. How do you react to that? Because I imagine you would often come up with an idea and whether it's producers or powers that be saying, yeah, no, don't do it. Do you see that wall and go, oh, I'm going to push through. I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved the idea that people would be saying, no, it's too much. You're inviting all kinds of harassment and scrutiny by doing it. And I think actually it's like catnip. It just sort of entices me on. And I also think that it was really important to establish in the film that I only went down the road that I went down in terms of talking to ex-Scientologists and doing reenactments on sound stages because no Scientologist would speak to me. In other words, I made in good faith an approach to any active Scientologist to talk to me for the doco, and not a single one stepped up to the plate. So the idea that bizarre. Can you imagine if you said, is there any Catholic out there that would speak to me for a documentary? You'd be inundated. You'd have thousands of people. But not a single Scientologist was willing to have a chat about what they believe.
That is incredible. Absolutely incredible. What's the most confronted, what's the most scared? When have you been the scaredest in your career?
It happens very occasionally. I mean, there's different kinds of fear. So there's the fear of doing something exquisitely embarrassing. So I did an audition for a Norwegian cruise line. That was a sort of stage fright type fear.
Oh, yes,
I completely imploded. I self-destructed. It's one of the few things in my oeuvre, if that's a slightly pretentious term, but things that I've done where I still have trouble watching it. In terms of physical violence, it's probably I was very, very scared when I went to a neo-Nazi rally as part of a program on neo-Nazis in California.
Yes.
Our BBC security did not come with us. They said they couldn't for various reasons. We didn't really have security, but the BBC decided for that occasion we should. Anyway, we went in and just this, I'd sort of built it up in my own mind, and the level of hostility we encountered, and the idea of sort of 200 neo-Nazis were quite obviously not keen on having us around. It felt very intense.
Phoebe, Boxed In with Louis Theroux.
Before I let you go, Louis, I have to ask one more question. Is there a topic or a faction of society that you're yet to tackle that you would love to? Is there something on your bucket list of topics that you would still like to get to?
Yeah, I mean, there's quite a few. I mean, the world is full of strange behavior. We are all in our own way strange. I mean, I still love the idea of getting really good access with a sort of questionable dictator like a Robert Mugabe in Zimbabwe or Kim Jong-un in North Korea. If you could get inside the world of these monomaniacal dictators and try to understand how their world is propped up and how they how they kind of run their regimes. I think it would be fascinating.
Oh, that would be brilliant. Okay, you must make that happen. That would be incredible.
Jong-un, because you're in Asia. Australia's Asia.
Yeah, we're very close.
Could actually be listening to this broadcast in his hideout or his palace, whichever is appropriate.
Yes.
Pyongyang. That's right, isn't it? Pyongyang?
That is Pyongyang, yes.
Kim, if you're listening to this, please tweet me and let's get it. Let's hook it up.
That would be amazing. Well, I'm excited and somewhat terrified now at the idea of Kim Jong-un listening to this. And
it would be amazing. I think he's a film buff himself, so we could even make it a collabo. You know, I'd go over there and he could get some sort of consultant producer credit.
Which he'd like. Play to his ego. I think that is how he operates best. Now, Louis, thank you so much. This has been my own little intimate dinner party, which I've thoroughly enjoyed. And anyone listening who would love to see Louis live on stage, head to our website for all the details. There's Perth, Melbourne, Sydney, Adelaide, Brisbane. And we cannot wait to get you in the country. And my Scientology movie, A Brilliant Film, which is out now. Thank you so much, Louis Theroux.
Pleasure. Oh, no. Marlon and Elvis were quiet, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. So I think Marlon was busy. He's still getting through his third course, so.
He's face down in a tureen of soup.
Boxed in.
It's Fifi Box with the stars.
Maybe you should talk to me.
Fifi Box. Finding out the things you didn't know about your favourite people.